Thank you, Peter. Whenever I go to class, I always check whether students are alive or sleeping. Good afternoon, everyone. Seems like that. You're alive. In Australia, there are three, or not, the names of sacred and well-protected animals always start with a K. Kangaroo, koala, and you may add the corn. I'm well protected in Australia, that's why I'm living in Australia. There's another reason, actually, why I'm living in Australia. According to the statistics, we heard lots of statistics today, the male life expectancy in Korea is 75. Male life expectancy in Australia is 79. You know why I'm living in Australia? 4 more years. Well, we have heard lots of statistics this afternoon. Perhaps I will add one more. China has 1.3 billion people, which account for one quarter of the world population, which means every one out of four are Chinese in the world. So look around. If you can't find Chinese beside you, you might be Chinese. Building on Daniel's excellent speech or presentation about opportunities in Korea or business opportunities in Korea, basically I'd like to address how to seize upon them. So there are a few questions you might have. Okay, move on. First, is Korea a safe country to do business with? And second, how international business in Korea differs from business in Australia? Now, added some specific differences, particularly business negotiation, without knowing the audience, actually. But I realize that there are a lot of Koreans here, so I will more to skip the last part. Now, let me, with the limited time, let me go to the first question. Is Korea a safe country? Now, of course, I'm not a military strategist, but from my perspective, would there be another Korean War? Or if there is another Korean War, would Australia send its soldiers as it did in 1950? For the first question, whether there will be war or not, I strongly believe, or my strong belief is that there will not be any more Korean War. Because the war always arises out of a miscalculation of winning. 1950, of course, North Korea made a terrible mistake. Mistake in the sense that United States would not be involved when North Korea invaded South. Behind that, actually, the Secretary of State, John Acheson, drew a frontier line of Korea, South Korea, excluding South Korea, including Japan. So that message went to North Korea, saying that, if we invade South Korea, the U.S. wouldn't be involved. But now, of course, at that time, Russia and China, of course, agreed to help North Korea. That's why war started in 1950. But now, the U.S. has about 37,000 soldiers in South Korea, and there is a treaty between South Korea and South Korea and the United States, a mutual defense treaty, 1954. And hence, if North Korea invades South Korea, it's directly challenging United States. But I don't think anybody with the same mind would challenge the United States at this stage. So I strongly believe that there wouldn't be any war. So it's a safe country to do business with. Secondly, business risk is a so-called political risk. Political risk arises largely from the political interferences. Now, Korea is a well-established and a well-established democratic society, and the political stability, although there's some sort of wrangling and fighting among the National Assembly people, but I don't, its political stability is quite high in Korea, and the political interference is a very minimum. Okay, it's a widely open society, and therefore I don't think there will be much political interference in doing business. Then how to seize upon the business opportunities identified by many speakers today, and in particular, how business in Korea differs from business in Australia. Largely, differences arise from cultural differences. So I'll spend some time on the culture and Korean culture and its impact on doing business. Now, culture is a funny thing. The best way of learning culture is you have to submerge into the society and live a few years and then come back to understand the culture. So I'm, in a sense, quite an advantageous situation because I was born and raised, educated in Korea, and then last 35 or 40 years I'm living in Western countries and visiting Korea every year a few times. So I know both countries quite well. And so I'm reasonably confident how Korean culture is as compared to particularly Australia or Western world. Culture, in my sense, is shared behavioral patterns shared by the members of the society. And culture rises or develops as a way of solving human instinct problems, such as survival and reproduction and education and so on. So cultures always differ by countries, right? So, for instance, in Korea, people still eat dog meat. And why? There's a particular reason behind that. So we have to have a strong idea that there are all different cultures, and you can't say my culture is better than yours. So this proper cultural attitude includes non-parochialism, that is, there's no other cultures than ours. Or non-ethnocentrism, yeah, admit there are other cultures, but ours is the best type of concept. We have to get rid of them. Now, with that, the culture determined by various factors, including religion, language, economic philosophy, geographic surroundings, history, political philosophy, and education system. So each of these is quite different from, say, Australia, particularly religion. Okay, so I strongly believe that religion is the most important determinant of a culture. Now, the cultural differences are reflected in daily communications. Now, there are two types of communications, verbal and nonverbal communications. And linguistic people are saying that the nonverbal communication accounts for about 60% of our daily conversation. Now, all these nonverbal communications largely embedded in culture. All right, so in terms of a middle finger, here is a very significant meaning. In Korea, it doesn't mean anything. And eye contacting, particularly Westerners, if you go to Korea, and when you talk, and Korean partners may not look at you. Or I used to ask to students, when your father scolds you, where you look at? And Korean students typically look down. All right? If you look up or look at the parents or father, and you challenge me and spank. But in Western world, if you are scolded by your father, and if you look down, your father says, you are ignoring me. So that's the sort of a facet of a cultural difference. So in Korea, eye contact is very minimum. But here, eye contact is must in daily conversation. Now, you can, as a business person, I had an interesting friend. It's called Northern Telecom, located in Ottawa, Canada. And he really learned inside out of all these cultural aspects of Korea and Asian countries and his. And he said that whenever he go to the business trip to Korea, and sometimes when the negotiation is getting tough, he said he just look at their eyes, and then they just usually do not know what to do. So they gave it in and conceded in. So you can indeed take advantage of your knowledge in developing business into your way. The interesting sort of hypothesis, or two hypotheses, one is the conversion and divergence hypothesis of culture. In other words, I said the cultures are different. Then, given this globalization, regular trips and here and there, would the cultures, different cultures remain divergent, or cultures converge in each other? So that's a very sort of interesting hypothesis by anthropologists. And there is the conclusion or consensus among the anthropologists is that there are two components of culture. One is a sort of institutional culture, like running business, running university, and so on. And this psychological culture. And psychological culture, or mindset, are indeed remaining divergent, whereas institutional culture converge. So that even in 10 years later, I bet that Korean culture will still remain different from Australian culture. And therefore, it's very worthwhile, if you like to do business with Korea, learning Korean culture. So Korean culture is based on, as I said, the major, very important determinant of culture is religion. Now, Korea is over a long period of time influenced by Confucianism. Of course, you may say that Confucianism is not not religion. Fine. Religion could have a certain element. Religion could have more than five elements, such as gospels and afterlife the rituals, many followers, and so on. And Confucianism doesn't have specifically God, or doesn't have afterlife. But it has many followers, so it may be regarded as the religion or ethic guideline. It doesn't matter much. However, about 2,500 years ago, Confucius, who was a natural person, thought about how to make the country more peaceful or harmonious. And he came up with the human being consists of five relationships. So he identified five relationships, such as fathers and son. Father-son relationship and a master-follower relationship among friends, husband and wife, and the old brothers and young brothers. And then he prescribed precisely what to do each other. All right. So father should protect sons, and the sons should obey the parents or pay respect. And the master and follower is the same, and so on. And the husband and the wife in those days, you can see that the husband has the obligation to support wife, and wife should be submissive to husband. Interesting thing is that in Korean conversation or Korean daily life, there are a lot of jokes on henpecked husband. But there's no henpecked husband joke in Australia. Do you know why? Because all men in Australia, including myself, are already henpecked husbands. It is not fun or odd. Anyways, so from this simple graph, you can see that these five relationships are not horizontal. They are all vertical or hierarchical. All right? Out of this, father and son, father is up and son is down. So Korea is very much group society or collectivism, but it is not horizontal groupism. It's a vertical or hierarchical groupism. All right, that's very different from Western world. And then language developed in such a way. that language is very hierarchical. In other words, in English, all we need to do is, you know, to pay some respect. We simply say a nice word of a please. But in Korean way, Korean language, or Japanese, or even a little bit Chinese, the who you talk is very different. So when you talk to your parents, that's one way. Parents talk to the kids, that's another way, completely different. So it's very hierarchical. And because of this, the culture developed it like that, and then language followed. But the language developed like that reinforces the existence of Korean culture, i.e. hierarchical society. So the you can see that the culture will remain over a long time to come, and Korean society is very hierarchical collective society. So in summary, Korean cultural salient characteristics include collectivism, is based on the family. Now, importance of relationship is emphasized, and basis of relationship include the family, most important, and the schools and regions and companies, work, and so on. And emphasis on hierarchy and emphasis of status. Status include ages and education ranks. And the face-saving. Now, face-saving is, Westerners have some difficulty in understanding face-saving. Now, in hierarchical society, your position in the society is more or less a given or fixed. Therefore, everyone likes to keep his or her status. So if somebody makes you lose that status, place in a society, you lose face. So losing face is a very important part of Korean culture. So if you go to Korea, try to give them face rather than hurting their face. And then Korea is very much emphasizing education. I'll give you a brief sort of, well, there are a lot of studies on different differences in culture. So the so-called individualism between Korea and Australia is measured by a scholar called Hofstede. And in Australia, the individualism is 90 point, whereas Korea is 18 point. So Korea is out of the individualism. Australia is very high, and Korea is very low. Uncertainty avoidance. Are we sort of risk averse, or which country is more risk averse? The Korea is a much more risk averse society than Australia. And the power distance. Power distance shows that how much we are tolerant of the differences in our status in society. And again, Korea is a hierarchical society, therefore the power distance is much higher than Australia. And masculinity is who are sort of achieve-oriented society, and Korea is much lesser than Australia. So another way of looking at cultural differences between two countries, say, as I said earlier, hierarchical society and whereas individualistic society. And based on that, relationship focused, whereas in Australia or Western world, task is focused. Personal and group face is important. Personal pride and esteem, or self-esteem, is important here. And respect for elders. David, you listen. And respect for merit, and respect for status, respect for achievement, and the face and sensitivity, feelings, and objective facts and data in Australia. Modesty, humility, whereas winning and assertive and outspoken, that's basically masculinity. And another interesting difference between Australia and Korea is a so-called shame-based culture. Whereas Western world is a guilty-based culture. So moral base in Korea is largely shame. So, you know, it's shameful for you to do that type of warning is coming. Whereas it is not quite right toward God or to your belief. That's the Western culture. By the way, the why Western world become individualistic? My understanding of religion with the limited knowledge. During the religious revolution by John Locke or those times, the Bible is a direct communication between you and God instead of you from somebody else. So it's everybody same, and you are directly communicating with the God. That's my knowledge about in the basis of individualism in Western society. Korean language is so-called high-context language, whereas a low-context language. Group society typically, they know each other quite well, so language should not be precise, or not necessary to be precise. So whereas English is a much more precise language than Korean language. So Westerners typically complain that the Orientals are vague, too vague, or not clear, and so on. But that's their way of communication. So in order to do business, or in order to seize upon the business opportunities identified by the Daniel, we have to understand their proper cultural attitude, and they have to be sensitive and responsive to Korean culture. And also you have to understand the Korean management system. Management is a function of a culture, right? So understanding management is first, you have to understand their culture. Human resource management, also important. Particularly when you send the people to Korea from Australia, you have to believe that not all of them will succeed. According to some international business book, attrition rate of expats is 65% to 85%. That means, you know, a person would be located to Korea with the 3-year contract or 3-year term, and then after 1 year time, you'd say, I can't stay here. Let's go back. And that's sort of attrition. So many people are failing. So when you choose your staff to send to Korea, you have to really sort of check whether he or she can tolerate in different culture, Korean culture. As I said, that's the, although not the end of the not end of the, my Torah preparation, but to seize upon the opportunities. Yeah, you understand. They try to understand the Korean culture and their way of life, and then you will be successful in Korea. Thank you.